Dr. Christian's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only show in radio where the audience writes the scripts. Stories right from the heart of America, written by the people of America. Woven around that beloved American character, the family doctor. Tonight's contribution comes from Keene, New Hampshire. The author is Dorothy Cheney Queenan. She calls her prize play The No Good, and it stars Jean Hersholt as Dr. Christian, with Rosemary DeCamp in the role of Judy Price.
Mother, did you know that more accidents occur in the home than any other place? It's a fact, and a reminder, too, that in case of minor burns, it's always a good idea to have a jar of reliable Vaseline petroleum jelly on hand. As soon as such an accident occurs, smooth a light coating of Vaseline petroleum jelly over the burn. Wrap firmly but not tightly with a gauze bandage. You'll find that Vaseline petroleum jelly is wonderfully soothing. Helps guard against infection when the skin is broken or blistered. Helps the burn to heal lots faster, too. Of course, if the burn is serious, always call a doctor. And there's nothing better for babies' chafed and irritated skin, or for tired, work-sore hands. Keep a jar in the kitchen, and one in the medicine cabinet, too. The popular size jar is only 15 cents. The large economy size, only a quarter. Tomorrow, sure, get your supply of Vaseline petroleum jelly.
Thank you, Rosemary DeCamp. Now for our Dr. Christian prize play, The No Good. The opening scene takes place at the high school, where the scholarship committee of the school board is meeting, with board president Amos Tyler presiding.
Mr. Shanks has brought up the name of Ernest Gresham as a good one for a scholarship. What do you think of that, Dr. Christian?
I have nothing against Ernest. He's a good boy, but...
But what? You said yourself he's a good boy.
And smart.
And smart. Then what more do you want?
Well, it's just that his father has a good big farm, a fine herd of cattle, 2,000 chickens...
Well, you're not holding it against them that they've got something.
No, but I think they can send Ernest to agricultural college themselves. And at the will, if we don't come up with the scholarship money for him.
Dr. Christian, you voted down every boy we've mentioned for one reason or another. You must have a boy in mind yourself for the scholarship.
I've been waiting for you to ask me that. Yes, I have.
Well, name him, name him. We all have the same chance, all things being equal.
In that case, then, I'd like to suggest Lem Tolan.
Lem Tolan? Are you crazy?
Oh, he's got a police record.
Oh, come now, Milton, not really a police record.
Didn't he bust practically every window in the new school 2 years ago? 3 years ago, I guess.
Didn't he break into the summer cottages along the upper river a little more than 4 years ago?
It was never proved.
Didn't they have to take him out of the Thomas School and send him up here to River's End because the teacher couldn't manage him when he was 13?
That boy needed something.
Yeah, a darn good whopping with a strap, that's what he needed. He's a no good.
No one is a no good if he can find somebody to love or someone to love him.
Well, he certainly was a not very likable boy.
But someone loved him. Let me refresh your minds on what really happened the night he threw the rock through my window.
Dr. Christian, what happened? What did you break? Oh, look!
Someone threw a rock through the window.
Well, let's go get him.
Oh, why on earth would anyone want to do a thing like that?
Look, Dr. Christian, they caught him, whoever he is. Sam Harper has him by the neck.
Well, it's only a boy, Judy.
Only a boy, but what a rock.
Let's see who he is.
Hey, what's all this rumpus? I heard a crash way down the street.
Only my office window, officer.
Who did it? Who's the boy?
I don't know yet.
Well, thanks, Sam, for holding him. Turn around here, you. Well, it ain't Lem Tolan. I might have known it was you. Where trouble is, you are.
I don't think I know this boy. Who is he? Where does he live?
Yeah, he's one of the Tolans. Lives way out on the back mountain roads. Father draws lumber.
Oh, it's been here a year or so, eh?
Yeah, those are the ones.
Why did you do it, Lem? Why did you break my window?
Don't know.
Is it anything you have against me? Have I done anything to hurt you?
Don't know. Don't even know you.
Oh, I'm Dr. Christian.
Yeah, don't know. Don't know. That's all you get out of him, no matter what he does.
Was it an accident?
No. Just felt like throwing it.
Well, we'll see how you feel tomorrow morning in court.
Oh, no, no, no. There's no need of that.
Well, you can prosecute or not, but he's going to be there tomorrow morning. He's done enough damage around this town. No peace here with the likes of him around. Now, don't be encouraging him, Dr. Christian. I'll
be there in the morning, too. Good night, everybody.
Dr. Christian, if you're not going to press any charges, how would it be if I bound Lem over to you to keep the peace? I know you're busy, but you seem to feel he's not fundamentally bad.
I don't think he is. Yes, I'd be willing to keep an eye out for him during this probationary period.
You're a lucky boy, Lem, this time. Next time, I don't think you'll be so lucky. Let's hope there's no next time.
I'll drive you home, Lem.
All right.
Tell me, how many brothers and sisters have you, Lem?
Well, there's Nate and Tolliver and Weed and me and Absica. Well, that's my sister. She's a girl. And Hank and Charles.
Do you live on a farm?
Yes. It's all rocks, but we farm some. My pop draws lumber, though, mostly.
I see. Got any hobbies?
What are them?
Things you like to do.
I like horses. My father has 5 horses for drawing logs, but we never see them much. They're always in the woods working.
But you like horses?
Yeah.
You know, those men back there think I'm a little crazy to have any faith in you. They think you'll let me down. In fact, they're sure of it. But I believe in you. I get a little comfort from thinking that you're a pretty good fellow and that you probably won't give the teachers any more trouble. I'd be kind of foolish if those men were right, and I was wrong. Good morning, Judy. Any news?
Good morning, Doctor. Someone called up from the school and said Lem Tolan's been out for a week. When the truant officer goes up there, Mrs. Tolan says Lem's sick, and she just slams the door in his face.
Well, if he's sick, it's strange he doesn't call someone. I think I ought to go up there.
Today, Dr. Christian? But you have such a full schedule.
Oh, I guess I can squeeze a little fellow like Lem in there somewhere.
I suppose you have to keep an eye on him. If he's playing hooky, that'll go bad for him.
Somehow I don't think he's playing hooky. I think I'll go up there this morning as soon as I'm through at the hospital.
Dr. Christian.
Good morning, Mrs. Tolan. So you know me?
I know you, Dr. Christian, but I didn't send for no doctor. Lem's sort of tuckered out, but he ain't at death's door.
Oh, I didn't think he was. But Lem's a friend of mine, Mrs. Tolan. I didn't think he'd mind if I stuck my head in and said hello to him.
Well, if you want to, I guess I can't stop you. Come in. I don't know what ails him. He won't eat. He just lays there saying nothing and looking up at the ceiling. I make him a baked custard, which he likes. He leaves it there on it. Sit down here, Doc. Lemmy, here's a friend to see you.
Hello, Lem. What seems to be the trouble?
Nothing.
Pain in your stomach?
No.
Headache?
Some.
Sick to your stomach?
Some.
Talkative little fellow, aren't you?
I'm glad the others ain't like him. I don't know what's going on in his head half the time.
You don't mind if I give him an examination?
No, I guess not. I'll be in the kitchen if you want me to call. Well?
I don't know what to say.
I hope he don't have to have his appendix out or nothing.
No. No, I can't find anything wrong with him. He's a well-nourished little fellow, but slightly dehydrated just now because he hasn't been able to keep anything down. Mrs. Tolan, how many days has he been like this?
Let me see. It started the day Noble broke his leg.
Which one of the boys is Noble?
Well, it ain't a boy. It's a horse.
Oh.
We use him in the woods for lumber, and he was hurt bad, so my husband was going to shoot him. But Lem started to cry, and he got sick, and to tell the truth, we put off shooting the horse until Lem gets better. Don't want to upset him too much.
Where's the horse now?
He's in the barn. Joel made a splint, but he ain't a vet, of course, and it ain't very good. Between you and me, that horse is done for. Ain't just his leg, he's hurt other places.
Did you send for the veterinarian?
Dr. Christian, we don't have the money for no vet. That horse is never going to be any good for the woods again. We can't send good money after bad.
Dr. Christian, could you look at Noble?
Lem, you mustn't ask Dr. Christian. He's not a horse doctor.
That's all right, Lem. I took the oath of Hippocrates when I became a doctor, and it goes something like this. I swear by Apollo the physician and Hygieia and Panacea that I will carry out regimen for the benefit of the sick. And the oath didn't say whether it meant a sick horse or a sick boy. Sometimes things are kind of bound up one with the other anyway.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Christian.
The barn's this way, doctor.
It's a good thing you don't have a telephone, Mrs. Tolan. I'd be hearing from Judy.
I guess it was a longer job than you bargained for. Look, Lem's asleep.
No, I ain't, Ma. I just dozed a minute. Doctor, what happened? Did you have to?
I think the patient will live, but I'm not sure about the doctor.
Well, I'm going to make you a cup of good hot tea and strong.
I'll have a little talk with Lem while you make it, Mrs. Tolan.
Won't take long, Doctor.
Lem, I'm going to have a heart-to-heart talk with you about Noble.
Sure.
You've got him slung up in the barn in an ox sling. He'd be crippled for months, and he's going to need lots of care and love and attention. Do you think you can do it?
Oh, sure.
Well, then you've got to hurry and get well, because every day you'll have to unchain him and walk him around for 15 or 20 minutes. You'll have to massage his shoulders and massage his leg. You'll have to make him take strong-tasting medicine that he won't like. You'll have to be firm with him, Lem. You'll have to talk to him and explain.
Where are we ever going to get the medicine?
Oh, I'll get the medicine from the vet. I'll pay for it, and when the horse is well, you can... Well, when you have some spare time, you can come to my office every day and empty the baskets and burn the rubbish for me until we're even.
Gee, that'd be swell. I can hardly wait to get better.
Oh, no matter how the weather is, you'll have to walk him every day.
Sure, sure, I get it. I won't miss a day.
Good. Good boy. I'm leaving these pills for you. I'll write in the direction on the bottle. Now, take them faithfully.
Tease head up, Doctor.
Thank you, Mrs. Tolan. Bye, Lem. I'll keep in touch with you and Noble. And the medicine for him will be up here tomorrow, first thing.
Thanks.
Sit here, Doctor. Doctor, what about my boy?
He's disturbed in his mind, and thus it affects his body. What we call a hysterical revulsion. It simply means he gets a physical reaction to a mental worry. He was worried sick for fear you were going to have that horse shot.
But you gave him pills.
Well, they'll help to think that he's getting well. Actually, he's on the mend already. He can't wait to be on his feet to help that horse.
He's always been a child that craves affection.
Why, sure. But he has something he can call his very own. There won't be any more window breaking or any more mischief.
Oh, I thank you, Doctor.
Don't thank me yet. Wait till my theory proves itself.
Sure, I know it's cold, Noble, but you gotta do it. Yesterday I let you off easy. I only made you walk 12 minutes. What if Dr. Christian should find out? I know this snow's deep, but I'll let you off easy today. If you can just get as far as the corn crib and back, that'll be enough. I know it hurts. It hurts me worse than it hurts you. I feel like a slave driver, like Simon Legree. But it's for your own good that I'm doing this. You know a good way to do, Noble? Just shut your eyes and you won't see the snow. Just imagine that when you open your eyes that the pasture is all green, that spring's coming, and everything's warm and beautiful again. Like the 23rd Psalm. You don't know the 23rd Psalm because you don't go to church. I mean, it's not your fault you don't go to church. Sometimes I don't get to go with the chores and all. But, well, this is the 23rd Psalm I was telling you about. It goes something like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. Them are the green pastures I was telling you about. The way it's going to be when winter's gone and spring has come again. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, still waters means the pond, which you'll see again when the ice breaks up. You wouldn't understand the next part, but then it goes on like this. Yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's what you did, walked in the valley of the shadow. Brother, that was a close shave for you that time. For thou art with me. Only Dr. Christian was with you and me that day. And God, of course. Then there's another part about enemies, which you don't have. Unless you could call ticks or flies enemies. I suppose they are. Oh, you agree with me, huh? Well, then there's a part, my cup runneth over. That means, and this sounds kind of silly maybe to you, but it's true. It means you're so happy, you're like to bust. That's the way I felt the day the doctor came up and fixed you all up. I know you must have hated him and thought he was mean, but he meant good. Just like I mean right now. I'm being mean to you, but you know I don't mean it. It's all for your own good. Now, this next part, Noble, is what you got to listen to real hard. Because it's what you got to keep in mind when the going gets tough. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That means that when you're well again, you can gamble around in the pasture as much as you want. Nibble the grass and wade in the brook on hot days and eat the apples off the trees. Only don't you get caught. And then maybe when you're old and gray, ready to die, you go up to some horse heaven the Lord has. So you just keep on thinking of what's ahead. Never mind the snow and cold. There. You never noticed it, but we've been all the way out to the corn crib and back. And us talking, you never noticed. It wasn't so bad after all, was it? Well, that's the way we got to do, Noble. Just take each day as it comes. And things will be better.
Dr. Christian, Mrs. Toland to see you.
Oh, yes, yes. Send her in.
You can go right in, Mrs. Toland.
Thank you kindly. Hello, Dr. Christian.
Hello, Mrs. Toland. Sit down. Tell me what's bothering you.
Oh, I'm all right. It's Lam.
Is he ill?
Not exactly. But you mind when you come out to the farm that time? Must be nearly 3 years ago.
Of course I remember.
Yeah. Many's the day since then I've wished that horse had died. Especially when he put his head right through the screen door trying to follow Lem into the kitchen. 3 times he bashed his head through that screen. And 3 times Joel had to fix it. You know Joel ain't a patient man, Dr. Christian. But what it did for Lem, oh, that's something else again. All that boy did for that horse that first bitter winter, no human would hardly do for another. Doctor, he sang songs to him. Lullabies, the blue-tailed fly, anything that come to his mind. He set up nights for it. And I can say we've had 3 good years since then. Good for Lem, good for the horse. But today, the horse died. I seen it coming. I said nothing, though. But never was he so sick that he couldn't manage to get out a little neigh whenever Lem come near him. Now I'm afraid for Lem, Doctor. How he's going to be? Is he going back to school, or is he going to fall sick, or what? Doctor, if you could spare the time, and I could pay you just like it was a regular visit, just like Lem was really sick.
This is Lem's last year of high school, isn't it?
That's right, Doctor.
Well, no one has any greater capacity for suffering than the young. I'll be up tonight if I possibly can. And I would like some of that good strong tea instead of money, if you don't mind.
Oh, I'm grateful to you, Doctor.
Anybody home?
We're all to home tonight, Doctor. We was expecting you.
Where's Lem?
Oh, he went out to the barn after supper, he ain't there.
Oh, I know the way. I'll just go on out.
Want a light?
I have my flashlight, thanks. Hello, Lem.
Oh, hello, Dr. Christian. Come in.
I heard about Noble, so I came up. Thought maybe there was something I could do.
Nothing anybody can do. He's dead. That's all there is to it.
Well, I just thought it might help if you had somebody to talk to. About Noble, I mean. We were all pretty close once.
Yeah.
And we had some good years.
Yeah.
You made this world a pretty good place for him to live in. He was a real friend and he knew it.
You were a good friend to him, too.
Nothing like you.
We used to talk about you a lot. Oh, I mean, I did all the talking. He just listened. He was very intelligent, you know.
I always thought so.
Well, sometimes when we hunted for the cows in the pasture, he'd go ahead and keep looking back to be sure I was following. And sometimes if I didn't see one as quick as he did, he'd nudge me. No kidding.
I believe you.
He learned little tricks, and he'd do them for me. And if I laughed, he'd just do the same trick over and over like a kid. Like my littlest brother. Sort of showing off, you might say.
Go on, Lem. I'm listening.
Why, he even learned to help me take down pasture bars. He could open his own stall door if my hands were full. Would you believe it?
I believe anybody's capable of anything if someone only has faith in him. Don't you?
Yeah. You're right.
Lem, you love animals, don't you? Not just this horse, Noble.
Yes, I do. Of course, there's nobody like Noble. But I like to be around all kinds of animals, to take care of them. They seem to appreciate what you do. Well, they tell you so with their eyes. I don't think anybody will ever take Noble's place, though.
Well, that's hardly to be expected. Lem, have you ever thought of being a vet?
Have I? Of course I have. But what's the use? We couldn't afford college, all that studying.
If something could be done about it, would your mother and father let you go?
Ma's deep. She don't say much, but she thinks a lot. And I think she'd like it. It's something I've thought a lot about, but I never spoke out loud about it. Don't say nothing, Dr. Christian.
I won't. But you'll be thinking about it, and I'll go to work. That's the whole story, gentlemen of the school board. I've filled in the details from what the mother told me, and for what I gathered from Lem, but...
You have a lot of faith in this boy, Dr. Christian.
Yes, and I hope it's not misplaced.
What you've told us has kind of opened my eyes. Sometimes you never realize what goes on in the other fellow's heart. Makes you kind of ashamed.
If anybody knows human nature, it's you, Doctor. If you believe in this, this Lem, how can we doubt? Well, as far as I'm concerned, the scholarship's his.
I don't think there's a boy in town who would be better deserve this chance for a scholarship than Lem. So, I withdraw my candidate, too.
Thank you, gentlemen. And now, with your permission, I think I'll go and break the good news to that no-good Lem Tolan.
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian prize play with our star, Gene Hersholt, waiting to greet you. Here's a little rhyme that's quite appropriate for 2 days before December breezes in upon us.
To soothe chapped lips, here's good advice. Always use Vaseline Lip Ice.
Yes, folks, Vaseline Lip Ice is the family friend that soothes those cracked, smarting lips right off. And it helps them heal faster, too. Chapped lips can be a thing of the past in your household when you keep Vaseline Lip Ice handy. Dad can carry it to work and use it on the job. And for folks who work outdoors, Vaseline Lip Ice is a real blessing. And don't forget, Mother, Vaseline Lip Ice helps to soothe and heal cold and fever sores as well. So get a handy stick or two of Vaseline Lip Ice tomorrow. It costs only a quarter. And when you buy, remember to look for the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheesebro Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Gene Hersholt.
Thank you very much. The author of tonight's prize play is Dorothy Cheney Queenan of Keene, New Hampshire. She's the author of many magazine articles and radio scripts and has been a previous winner in our script competitions. Next week, plan to present a new prize-winning play called Sorry, Right Number by Harold Lee Gamble and Wayne J.P. Case of Watertown, New York. I invite you all to join us again next Wednesday evening, same time and same station. And until then, I'll say good night.
See how handsome your hair can look.
Discover how good your scalp can feel.
If you have that dry scalp feeling, make the Vaseline Hair Tonic 10-Day Test.
Whether you use another hair tonic, water, or nothing at all, try Vaseline Hair Tonic for 10 days and look for these two remarkable improvements.
First, dry scalp is checked and so is embarrassing loose dandruff.
Second, hair looks more handsome than ever before. Vaseline Hair Tonic makes even dry, unruly hair easy to comb. Keeps it really in place.
Vaseline Hair Tonic supplements the natural scalp oils your hair needs to look its best. Your scalp needs to feel its best. Why not start your Vaseline Hair Tonic 10-day test today? It's easy and economical.
So for a better looking head of hair, for a better feeling scalp, for double care to both scalp and hair, check dry scalp with Vaseline Hair Tonic. Get a bottle tomorrow sure and start your own 10-day test. Art Gilmore speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.